Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. I want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
The Fan is here to help with your brackets. Place one hand at the top of the paper, then place the other hand at the top, and with a downward movement, rip them up. If you filled your brackets out online, print and repeat. This is a finals week edition of Dirt and Spray.
Brought to you by Claussen Heating and Air Conditioning. Their experts are focused on one thing, your comfort. Schedule your free estimate at ClaussenHeating.com. It's hard to stop a train.
Dirt and Spray on 1080.
I knew that this thing was meant to be.
The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. Hour number two, Dirt and Sprague here. Couple show corrections. One, Harden with Oklahoma City. We forgot about that.
Yes, he made it early in his career as a sixth man. They got all the way to the NBA Finals.
Yeah. I always forget about those OKC years.
I do too.
They gave up on that team.
Very short-lived, man.
It was, and it shouldn't have been, but it was. We're excited to welcome in Charlie Ward, Heisman winner, NBA guard, one of the all-time great dual sport athletes
absolutely
ever, and host of the Believe ACC podcast. Does great stuff on Twitter at Real Charlie Ward. Charlie, good morning. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Appreciate you guys having me on.
Hey, my man. Thank you. We were just talking about Damian Lillard and the MVP stuff. We're a bit homerish because we're out here in Portland, but we get to see this guy every night, and he has another 30-point performance. He's had a remarkable year. He's had a great run here in multiple seasons. Where would you put Dame right now, just as a basketball fan, a guy who watches the league, where would you put Dame in the MVP conversation right now?
He would definitely be in the conversation as far as what he's doing with his team and, you know, where he is as far as scoring and what he means to his team. But, of course, you know, you have your other outliers, guys who are in that talk as well. I don't know how much value winning plays a part of that, the MVP talk, but I'm sure at some point that may be the reason why whoever wins would definitely win it.
Yeah, when you look at the NBA now, Charlie, I'm curious to ask you, because you had a long 10-year NBA career, started in an NBA Finals. How surprised are you by how much the game has changed in the last, I don't know, 20 years or so, or 15 years since you left the league, I think, in 05? And how would you have fit in a modern-day NBA?
I'm sure I would have found my way through it. The game has really gotten to a point where it's a lot of one-on-one. And you have to be very good in your rotations because guys are just really, really good. And I'm sure I would have found my way through just like everyone else. But it's definitely a little different. It's more offensive-minded. And defense, of course, is if you can play it really, really well, you will win a lot of games. But the offensive players in this day and age are wide range. I mean, guys can score regardless if you're playing a very good defense or not. So it's something that you have to, I know, like I said, I would have found a way to make an impact in some form or fashion. But it's basketball. It just played at a different pace.
Yeah, Charlie Ward is our guest here, Believe ACC host, obviously former NBA veteran and Heisman Trophy winner. Now, the NCAA tournament is in their final four. Gonzaga is a heavy favorite. They take on the Pac-12 team, UCLA. They're double-digit favorites in that one. One, what have you made of this year's tournament, considering we didn't have last year's, Charlie, because of obviously the COVID. But what have you made of this year's tournament? And is there any reason to believe that the three remaining teams can knock off what Gonzaga has been and appears to be?
I mean, as we know, it's a one-game tournament. So, and what I mean by that is every game takes on its own storyline. And, you know, UCLA is on a tremendous run right now, and they're dangerous. I'm not sure if they're good enough to win or beat Gonzaga, who's playing at a really high level. They've been doing it all year. And, you know, I just want to see – I would like to see Coach Few, who's been committed to a small university, Gonzaga, you know, be able to continue the role of, you know, commitment to his university. Not saying if he was winning or losing that they would keep him. I mean, that's just the nature of the beast. But for him to turn down probably a lot of jobs that probably could have paid more money, been in a prestigious university with basketball tradition and all those types of things. But he stuck it out, and I'm grateful. And hopefully get an opportunity to see him win a championship. And they have a juggernaut. I mean, they're playing really, really well. But UCLA, they're going to take the air out of the ball. I mean, that's what they do. They're going to play great defense. If UCLA can get multiple guys, you know, scoring 20 points, they probably will have a chance, because you're going to have to score points against Gonzaga.
Mm-hmm. Well, one thing I was curious to ask you, Charlie, when I found out we were having you on, is looking at I mentioned the NBA and the way that it's changed, and you obviously had a great NBA career, but you're known as well for being a great dual sport athlete and for winning a Heisman Trophy and the quarterback play that you had when you were at Florida State and all those great years down there with the Seminoles. If you would have come out later, looking at the modern day NFL, for example, would it have been a tougher choice for you about playing in the NBA or playing in the NFL? Would your game at quarterback maybe have fit more to the modern NFL? Because it feels like guys, you know, running, you know, kind of a more mobile quarterback wasn't is a highly sought of a commodity in the NFL back in the day. But now a lot of these guys, I mean, Kyler Murray's going out early, Johnny Manziel's, you know, the Baker Mayfields, those kind of guys are being first round picks. Do you think it would have, if you were in the modern college game going to this kind of NFL football, would it change your mind about which pro career you followed?
Yes. I mean, it would definitely made it a tougher decision when it came down to the decision that I made, you know, when I was coming out, because we just weren't getting those type of opportunities. First round picks at my size wasn't going to, you know, happen. And so it would definitely have been tough. But I definitely enjoyed my NBA experience.
Yeah,
I wouldn't trade that for anything at this point. But it would have definitely been a tougher decision.
Yeah, good stuff. Charlie Ward, the Believe podcast host of the ACC, obviously a Heisman winner, NBA veteran point guard on Twitter, @RealCharlieWard. Charlie, thank you so much for hopping on with us today, my man. Great stuff. And we're looking forward to the Final Four. We'll have to catch up with you soon.
All right, sounds good. All the best to you guys.
All right, there we go. Charlie Ward, former Heisman winner and NBA veteran point guard.
I do wonder if we're ever going to see a dual sport athlete again. You ever think we'll see one at that high of a level? I'm trying to transition here, man. What do you want from me? What do you want from me? Like, because I know Oregon and Washington offered JT Tuimoloau a basketball scholarship. I don't know how good he actually is at basketball and how much of that is just a recruiting tactic to try and get him to sign with your school. But I do wonder if you'll ever see a dual sport athlete like that again.
Yeah, I wonder that too.
that's what I want to know.
That's what I've been wondering.
That's what I want to get to the bottom of.
Yep.
Look, sometimes, you know, hey, you get an email. It sounds great, okay? That's all. You get an email and you're thinking this is awesome.
Russell Wilson played for the Yankees.
He won a Heisman Trophy, man. Guy won a Heisman Trophy. Had a 10-year NBA career.
Great. Hey, by the way, course correction here. I'm an idiot, right? I've been an idiot all show. Chris Childs punched Kobe Bryant, so I'm glad I didn't ask Charlie Ward about punching Kobe Bryant in the throat.
That would have been a little awkward to say, hey, why'd you punch Kobe? And he said, I didn't punch Kobe.
You think I would have got a full response in that regard? I think I would have been like, that wasn't me.
Maybe you could have got a longer answer there. I don't know.
And the whiff. Happy opening day.
Happy opening day, everybody, man. Good stuff. Good stuff. He hosts a podcast, huh?
Yes, he does.
All right, there you go.
Talks about the ACC.
Yeah.
Is it about basketball? I don't know. Is it about football? Possibly. Could include all of them.
Oh, man. Yeah, there's who was the guy I was just listening? Oh, it was Suggs at Gonzaga had this.
And Suggs?
They were talking about him during their win. It was a terrible, boring game because it was a blowout and it was the only thing interesting really happening. But later, they mentioned that in the state of Minnesota that he was the football player in the state.
Mr. Football.
Mr. Basketball, Mr. Football.
They would not shut up about that during the game.
I know.
I want to see him play football.
But it was just wild to think of guys like Charlie Ward actually doing it. And if anybody else will ever... you've seen some, like Julius Peppers did it, obviously, back in the day.
Football, basketball.
Donovan McNabb did it. Cuse.
Donovan McNabb did it. And, you know, who else? Tony Gonzalez famously did it. Antonio Gates.
Greg Paulus.
Right? Greg Paulus, that's right.
Wasn't he a quarterback?
He was.
Did Gates play football in college?
He might have gone to the NFL.
I think he was a basketball player, and then somebody noticed him and converted him to...
I'm getting over what just happened on this program. It's going to take a while. Did we mention Tony Gonzalez?
We mentioned Tony Gonzalez. They're few and far between, but in college... I mean, Bo Jackson, maybe. I mean, when you add a Heisman Trophy and a first-round selection to the mix, that's rarefied air.
Well, yeah, there's no doubt. But Adley Rutschman, special teams extraordinaire for the football team.
He's a good kicker.
First overall pick in the draft. May have heard of him.
He's a good kicker. I'll grant you that.
Sherwood's very own.
Dual sport.
Yeah. The Clutchman is what they call him.
Do they call him that on the football field,
when's,
too?
Is Tucker going to ever retire from the Ravens? I mean, he's... as Mr. Automatic as there is as a kicker right now.
Well, we're not going to see a baseball football thing again.
Come on, bring him over as a kicker.
Kicker, you can't show up Sundays and then go play catcher 6 days a week.
I just don't think you're going to see that ever again.
And when the hell have the Orioles been in it in September and October anyway?
Well, but look at Bo Jackson was able to do it, short-lived, but he did it. Dion did it shortly after that.
Yeah.
And he got ridiculed. I don't think people remember. Dion got killed for going to games in both sports.
I just rewatched that 30 for 30.
The helicopter landing somewhere, getting
and he ran
him from
out
one.
And people
to,
were like, oh, look at this flashy guy. He's going to do both. And that's what led him to throwing water on McCarver.
Yeah, they were in the NLCS and the World Series, and he was traveling back and forth.
They called him selfish.
Glanville and the Falcons. And it was his argument always was his baseball contract only went up until the end of. Or the start of NFL training camp. That's how long he was supposed to be employed in baseball. So he said everything I was doing after that was just free. I didn't have a contract for that time. You want me to show up, I'll show up and help you out. But you haven't really seen it since then. I did wonder, though. I mean, look, that wasn't the best interview that we've ever done. But Charlie Ward playing in the modern college game, because these guys, like, it's just amazing how much the NFL has changed, right? Like, Charlie Ward back in the day never stood a chance of playing quarterback in the NFL, ever.
No.
It was never a thought. It was never a debate. It was never a question. But now?
He would have had Johnny Manziel, Baker Mayfield hype.
He ran
Kyler
for 500
Murray
yards,
hype.
27 touchdowns, 4 interceptions.
More exciting player than...
Yes.
Interview.
More exciting on the field. There's no doubt about that. No doubt about that.
When do you... You know what? Let me tell you something here, folks.
Shall we go to the bullpen?
What?
Well, it's opening day.
Starters.
Starters have a shorter leash.
We needed a mound visit during that interview. Just come out.
Let me say this.
Let's recalibrate here. What are we doing?
I will never claim to be a great interviewer. It's probably a huge weakness in my professional career.
That's not even close to going, though, in the... the Hall of Fame of the station.
It's not the John Lovitz level.
No.
Obviously, Cliff Harris is primetime jokes. They couldn't even air the interview.
Couldn't air that. The Tommy Lasorda one about the World Baseball Classic that never made the air.
I've heard horror stories about that.
Remember
that
when Brady Hoke fell asleep on the morning show? Remember
that's
that?
Right. Yeah. He famously called out. Dusty called him out. He's like, what? You know right away.
Immediately.
You know, right? Like, where you take it is up to you.
Immediately.
But you also get an idea that there's not a lot that's going to happen there. So you've got to... Sometimes
it's third and six, and you're going to get booed for doing a draw play, but you have to run a draw play.
We got to protect the quarterback.
And now we not
you got to give the punter space in the back of the end zone.
Defense. We got to play. Yeah,
it's disrespectful to have him on for 3 minutes. You can't just cut it short after one question. All right, thanks for the time. You got to stretch it out a little bit.
That was supposed to be a 20-minute interview.
Was it really? They wanted 20 minutes for that.
Yes.
Huh? Okay. Hey, the guy won a Heisman Trophy. He can do whatever the hell he wants, I guess. He didn't care about doing an interview in Portland. I got a Heisman Trophy in my trophy case. What do you
Dirt's
want from me?
Dirt's famous as soon as the interview's, dual sport athletes. What do you want me to do here?
You like that transition? I thought that was pretty good. Radio pro.
Well, at least I didn't ask a Chris Childs question. That would have really been stupid. Maybe it would have been more interesting. I don't know. All right. Well, we got the Daily Ticker around the corner. Sam Monson, who we know loves to talk. And talk all things NFL, is going to join us at 8:15. We're back with more on Odyssey and 1080 The Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Happy April 1st, everybody. Joke was on us.
Was the Michael Strahan thing an April Fool's joke, or did he really do that?
No, he really got his gap closed.
Why would you do that? He's known for that gap.
At this point, he's known enough without the gap now.
When you think of Michael Strahan, that's honestly the first thing that I think of.
Really? Still?
Yeah, it still is. The guy's been on national TV for 10 years now. Why change it?
Well, I mean, he wanted to. I mean,
if you wanted to, why don't you do it when you're... I mean, he was making big money for years and years and years. Why all of a sudden now is my question. You could have changed that early in your pro days. The second you get to the NFL, you get a big contract. You could have changed it when you're in college. Like, that gap's been there forever.
But I got braces not too long ago.
That's different, though. Like, your teeth.
What's that different?
Because your teeth you couldn't see it. If I looked
you
at
could.
You, I mean, sure, they were a little jaggedy, if you will, but there wasn't a giant inch gap between your two front teeth.
Sure.
It's like Anthony Davis with the unibrow. If he just all of a sudden shaved it, really? That's what you're the brow. That's your thing.
You would care?
I mean, I wouldn't care. I just ask why all of a sudden now would you shave it? You had all these years to shave it, and now you decide to do it?
Well, that's like Softy in Seattle. I mean, his name's Softy because he was a fat guy, and now he's like, skinnier than us.
Sure, I view that.
It's weird to call him Softy, but that's kind of who he is. Like,
I view that slightly different. He needed to get in shape to avoid certain issues later in life. Well, you don't really have that with a gap in your teeth or a unibrow.
You ever tried to eat something with a gap that big? Maybe Strahan got sick of it.
You could fit a grape through that thing.
I bet you when he takes bites of apples, he gets big apple chunks in that gap.
That's a whole thing. You don't even have to floss. It's too wide. You don't even need to floss there.
Yeah, I mean,
just wash some water in that thing.
I'm kind of with you. Like, he's accomplished so much post-career and in his playing career that I was like, really, you're going to get the gap closed now? But I just went through this personally. Sometimes you do it late in life, but you've wanted to do it. He just didn't want to acknowledge it.
Remember the Dennis the Menace movie?
The one with Christopher Lloyd is the bad guy?
I think so.
Walter Matthau?
His smile now looks like Walter Matthau when he had the two fake teeth. Do you remember that scene?
Yeah, I do, yeah.
He has the like a bunny looking teeth.
So it looked like a weird procedure. For those who didn't see it, you could check it out.
Yeah.
But it looked like a weird procedure. Look, I think overall, no matter how you slice it.
I mean, you do you, boo. That's fine. I just found it weird.
And look, maybe he would never acknowledge this publicly. if you're doing that, it means you've thought about that for a long time, right?
Yeah.
If you're closing the gap, it means you it's something you've wanted to do. But I bet you when it started to go post-career, he was known for the gap, and he used the gap to his advantage.
I mean, I'm looking at a picture of it right now. It's throwing me off. It looks like he's wearing a mouth guard. They're like too perfectly white. There's no more gap. It doesn't fit. I can't compute that in my brain. I'm used to seeing, every time I look at Michael Strahan, I'm used to seeing the gap, and now it's gone. I don't know what to make of this new world. I
mean, he's a good-looking guy, and he just closed a gap.
Too many things are changing around me. I'm worried.
Yeah, is that bothering you?
I'm scared of the future.
Why is Michael Strahan's gap? Why is it closed?
Because he did it a couple of days before April Fool's, and everybody was like, well, this is kind of fitting for an April Fool's joke. So I'm glad to know that. I guess it wasn't. All right, there you go.
Yeah, that's what...
Learn something new every day.
Decisions like that. It's like, why Brian Urlacher? Why did he decide to put hair on his head after he stopped playing?
He could have done it early on in life, man. He could have got a toupee, some random treatment.
Or he didn't need to. He looks great bald.
Sure, I'm with you on that. Why change now?
If I looked great bald, and I've said this before, I think I'm going to go bald by 40 or 45. I got kind of thinnerish hair. It's probably going to go, right? There's going to gap. It's going to start growing. And when that happens, I'm going to shave my head. But I got a skinny, weird head with huge ears. I'm going to look like a version of Adam Silver.
Yeah, you're not going to look good.
See? That's already making my self-confidence great, so I appreciate that comment.
Well, I have a small, fat head, so if I go bald, I stand no chance of looking good.
But your benefit is you buzz cut. You already
sure.
If you go thin and you shave because you're bald, it's not going to throw people off. Mine is going to throw people through a loop. Like, whoa, what do you got going on with that?
Yeah.
If you look good bald, you should rock it.
Just stay with the look. Like, Sakanik looks good bald.
He's got
a good head and then he's got the beard to match it out. So there's some hair up there. It's not a complete cue ball. There's some hair on his face.
I would argue Sakanik looks better bald than he ever would with hair.
Yes. Go look at old pictures of him with hair. He looks much better now.
Well, he would probably say that version of hair, no.
Maybe younger college day hair or high school hair or something.
Did you see that? We had one of our listeners, Fred. He's a P1 of the station. He's been doing drawings and he drew a picture freehand of Lynch, Rock, and Sukanik. I think John was in it too.
The Big Lebowski.
The Big Lebowski.
Yeah, it was an incredible piece of artwork.
And he put really long flowing Lebowski hair on Sukanik because that's Sukanik's hero.
He's the dude.
That hair, Sukanik probably says, give me that hair.
Sure, those long locks.
But compared to what he had versus what he's dealing with, he's much better bald.
Yeah, the straggling of the fence, holding on, hoping it doesn't go away. That's a tough spot to be.
Whereas if you're thinner, tallish guy, lanky like me, you know, if I do lose it, I'm probably going to go Post Malone. I'm just going to put tattoos all over my body, Travis Barker style, so you can look at everything else and go, your ear's in that head.
Wow.
It doesn't look that bad.
You got a lot of tattoos
also, if
there.
You go bald, you do need to go to the tanning bed and get the paste. Because
I'll have a pale head.
Be pasty and bald. That's not a good combination.
You sitting at a ball game, like down by the front row, and the sun just glaring, beaming off the top of your head, you'd be blinding the 200 level. You got to think others here.
I would hope I'm wearing a hat at a ball game.
Maybe he went without a hat.
You got to watch out. I mean, remember, you know, when Stuart Sink on the PGA Tour takes his hat off, or Jim Furyk now these days.
Oh, you know who the good one of that is the dude who wears shades, Zach Johnson. Zach Johnson.
Yeah.
He's got this. He took his hat off.
I don't know how I got that reference from you, but yes.
Well, I was going to say uber religious shades dude in the golf PGA
Tour. You could have said
the
guy who accidentally hit the ball at the Masters. Remember when he did that? On the 13th tee box, he practiced swinging at the opening day of the Masters, and he accidentally hit the ball.
On a swing? On a practice swing?
Like a half practice swing. And he was like, what's the protocol? And it's in a tee box that's tucked away from everybody. There's nobody there. And the cameras picked him up. He's like, what do I do? What do I do? They let him hit it again.
Yeah, he took his hat off at a tournament not long ago. And I was like right at his eyebrows and up. It's just pasty white. And I'm like, how do you not?
Oh, God, it's bad. Have you seen Max Homa recently?
No.
Oh, Max Homa is bad, man. The top, like he goes, you look at him eyebrows down and it's like that guy's been sitting on a beach for 8 months. He takes the top of the hat off and it's like the inside of your arm.
Which is really white, by the way.
His forehead and like all the way around the top of his head. It's a bad look.
Why do golfers like golf tans? Don't you want that even?
I think you want it even, but that's easier said than done.
Well,
you
there's
wear
still
a
the requirement. You have to wear full-length pants on the PGA Tour.
But if they went to tanning beds, you could even that out quick. 2-3 weeks, everything's tan, when and then it's just going to be a little darker.
But then you got to balance. I mean, then how do you tan only the spots that need tanning, though? Do you, like, cover up the rest of your body? Because then the other parts of your body will get darker. You can never make it even. You got to blend.
Well, I would argue you're only going to get so dark, especially if you're a pasty white guy. You're only going to get so dark that you don't need to balance. You just acknowledge I'm a pro golfer. I'm darker from my elbow down and then up. I've got a good...
Sure. As long as it's not pasty white.
Yes.
Okay, I'll grant you that. Freddie Couples famously never wore a glove because he didn't want to have a white left hand.
That makes a lot of sense.
Because you wear your glove when you're playing four rounds, of, you know, five rounds, however many rounds a week, right? You're going to have a white left hand. Hell, I have it now already with my iWatch. When I take my iWatch off, the skin underneath, it's pale white. And everything else around it, perfectly tan. Hmm. But it's okay because I wear the watch every day, so I don't care.
So my biggest takeaway is... Charlie Ward did not go how we thought.
No, it did not.
And you have a real problem with Michael Strahan closing the gap.
I do. I just, that's what you're known for. That's like your calling card, I feel like. It's the gap. And now he took, it's
or
gone.
Covering important ground this morning.
Well, we're getting to the bottom of issues, okay?
I woke up today at 3:57 and I said, we're gonna conquer a lot on today's show.
We're going to solve problems.
Well, we are. We've got, we got a Florida guest.
Sweet.
On the Daily Ticker. I want to talk about Kyle Pitts.
He had a great pro day yesterday.
He would look great in a Cowboys jersey, but that's never going to happen.
What jersey would he not look good in?
True.
He seems like the next it tight end, doesn't he? The Kittle, the Kelsey, the Jimmy
Graham.
Look great
in a Seahawks jersey, too.
He would, but many think he's going to go number four. And I want to get the lowdown on Kyle Pitts, who had an amazing pro day and appears to be probably the first non-quarterback taken in this year's draft. Maybe he won't be, but it appears so today. That he will be. The draft is just 28 days away, so it is rapidly approaching. We'll make our Daily Ticker stop in Gainesville. And then coming up at 8:15, Sam Monson of Pro Football Focus is going to join us to talk all things NFL draft movement, offseason moves, Seahawks, you name it. We'll talk it with Sam Monson at 8:15. The Daily Ticker is next.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
This is the Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague visit the insiders that are covering the stories you've heard about, and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. Daily Ticker time on a Thursday morning. Don't forget, Sam Monson's going to join us coming up at 8:15. Quick breaking news in college basketball. We'll get to Roy Williams is retiring in North Carolina.
I'm not shocked.
I mean, he's up there in age, but that's a wide opening in college basketball. It's a big deal, man.
And you had a really good point in the break, but we can get to that a little bit later.
Yeah, don't go after Dana, all right? Keep your hands off him. Okay, let's get to big pro day yesterday on the NFL. Quite possibly the number one non-quarterback on the board in the upcoming NFL draft. Kyle Pitts out of Florida. An incredible year last year. Joining us now to talk about that. And another player from Florida who might be going in the first round. Adam Silverstein. He's the owner and managing editor at Only Gators, at Only Gators on Twitter. He is at Silverstein Adam on Twitter. Adam, thanks for the time this morning, man. We appreciate it. What stood out yesterday? Pro day. I'm hearing all these rave reviews, 40 time, it's vertical, all this stuff. What stood out, and what did the scouts have to say about the pro day, your tight end yesterday?
Yeah, I mean, let me just put it this way. Kyle Pitts is, a unicorn. And to call him that for a tight end in 2021 really says something, considering the quality and variety of tight ends that we've seen over the years. But he's just an extremely special player. The athleticism, obviously, is off the charts, a 4.4440-yard dash, and that's at a school where, you know, some schools, they do the 40. It's a little bit faster than it actually is at the combine. Florida's actually not one of those schools. It's generally pretty spot on or even a little timed a little bit slower. So Pitts has just honestly shocked scouts with his athleticism, but for those that have followed the team and watched the program for an extended period of time, it's really no surprise. The guy is a very unique, very special player at the tight end position.
Yeah, Adam, that's a good note because I felt like I saw that yesterday, that Florida, for more schools than any other, like their 40 times at their pro days, they end up running faster at the NFL combine. So that's incredible to think if that happens for him and his stock is already as high as it could possibly be as a non-quarterback. I'm curious, where do you think when you look in the league, his size is interesting, right? He falls into this category of, do you put him at a tight end slot the way that Kelce, Kittle, et cetera? Or is it a guy with his speed, his athleticism, his route running, you think eventually will get moved to wide receiver? How do you view him being used in the modern day NFL?
Well, that's the really interesting thing about him. Because if you think back to Calvin Johnson, when he came out of school, everyone was saying he's almost too big to be a receiver at the NFL level. But of course, then he goes and plays receiver and is one of the greatest of all time, right? Mm-hmm. So now you have Kyle Pitts and they're like, well, he's almost too small or too athletic to be a tight end. But why are you going to move this guy from a position where he has found success, even at the collegiate level, playing 8 games for the Gators just in 2020, that if he had played an entire season and he had been healthy for the entire season, who knows what kind of numbers this guy would have put up? I think the biggest and most important thing with Kyle Pitts is that you don't necessarily need a position to define him. He's large enough where you line him up at tight end, that's his primary position. But if you need to split him out wide, you're not, you know, taking away from the athleticism and speed that you would otherwise get from a receiver there by putting the tight end out wide. So it's a can't-lose situation, and that's really why he's such a unique player. And there's some, you know, I don't know if I can go so far as to say he's the number one player in the draft in terms of overall talent if I had a big board. But he's two if he's not number one. And he's just that talented, that unique. And by the way, that could have a kid as well. So you have to take that into consideration also.
Yeah, because Adam Silverstein is our guest. He's the owner of Only Gators. Give it a follow on Twitter, at Only Gators. He is at Silverstein Adam. On the tight end note, and I didn't watch him as closely, obviously, as you did. I know he put up incredible numbers last year, even though he was banged up for a chunk of the season. How big of a red flag is his blocking? I mean, is he not considered a good blocker? Is he an okay blocker, average blocker? Is that a red flag at all? I'm just curious on that front.
No, I mean, he's a good blocker. I don't think he's otherworldly where you're going to say that that's the primary use of him or one of the main ways you're going to deploy him. If you're drafting Kyle Pitts, you're drafting to catch footballs and score touchdowns, right? That's the number one goal. So anything else that he does from a blocking aspect is gravy almost. You look at even a tight end in the NFL happened to like the Dolphins, like Mike Gesicki, and you say, well, it took him a little bit of time to develop and learn how to block at an NFL level. But from the jump, the guy was able to catch and run, right? So if Kyle Pitts, coming out of Florida, is already a better blocker than many pass-catching tight ends that you would see in the NFL draft, and then you're going to develop him on an NFL staff, hopefully a capable one, then really the sky's the limit for him in that context. But again, I think if you're drafting Kyle Pitts, you're drafting him as an offensive weapon, and being able to use him at the line of scrimmage is just a bonus.
Well, and Adam, I think I would add to that, if you look at the NFL draft order, I just, maybe I'll be wrong on this, but it doesn't seem that Atlanta's moving on from Matt Ryan. I don't know if they'll really take a quarterback. Talk about offensive weapons. You would throw him in with Ridley, Julio Jones. That is a frightening combo. Whether that's 4 or at 5 to Cincy or 6 to Miami, when you look at the NFL draft and the way he is shooting up the mocks, is there one that you kind of circle and say you'd like to see him with blank team?
Well, look, I kind of gave it away a little bit ago. I'm going to be a little bit selfish here. I live in South Florida. I am a Miami Dolphins fan. And what I can tell you is Tua Tagovailoa, they just signed Will Fuller. They have Gesicki in that other tight end spot. They're trying to build offensive weapons around a team that almost got into the playoffs despite being absolutely horrendous the year before. They're building something really special in Miami, and if you add Kyle Pitts to that mix, you have something really special. But other than that, Atlanta would be the landing spot. I just don't see any way that Pitts gets past 6 because you have really Ja'Marr Chase and Kyle Pitts. And, yeah, I know someone may take Jalen Waddle instead, or they like Devonta Smith. Those guys are extremely talented, and really I don't know that you can go wrong out of those four playmakers. But between Chase and Pitts, I think one's going to go four, one's going to go six, and I think they're both off the board really quickly. He would fit in fantastic with Atlanta. But the question is, even if they're not ready to move on for Matt Ryan, are you really going to give up the opportunity to pick fourth in the draft and possibly snag that successor? You do need to look to the future if you're Atlanta. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing to consider is they could potentially trade the pick, fall back a little. You know, there's a lot of teams that wanted that Dolphins pick that may be willing to settle for number four, depending, you know, who is taking number three. So. Yeah. It's going to be really interesting to say.
That's a good point. Yeah, if a team still needs a quarterback, maybe somebody swoops in there at four, hell, even five with Cincinnati, because those teams are not likely, at least, to take a quarterback. I did want to sneak in a question. I don't know if – I'm assuming they all had their pro days yesterday, but you obviously know more than I do about this. Kadarius Toney is a guy who I remember watching, and he was a speedster and a ton of fun to watch in college. But, you know, we hear these NFL – Jamar Chase is getting a ton of attention, Devonta Smith, Jalen Waddle, as you mentioned. Some of these high-end guys are getting a lot of focus, but feels like a draft for maybe some of the other guys might fall under the radar and be great value picks end of the first round, early second round. What do you make of Toney, his fit in the NFL, and just kind of where mocks are having him going right now?
Yeah, Toney is that sleeper for me. He is, and again, I'm a little biased just because I happen to cover Florida, but he's that first round sleeper at the playmaker position where you can put him onto a team, and in year one, it's possible he could have a Tyreek Hill type of impact. I'm not saying that he will necessarily be the same player long term in the NFL, but he has athleticism. He's great hands. He's very smart with the football. He can get himself into trouble by trying to do too much a little bit. But then on the other hand, if you are doing the comp to Tyreek Hill, he doesn't really come in with the same off-field concerns that Tyreek Hill did at the time. So yeah. It's an extremely talented player. And could you imagine a team like the Green Bay Packers at the back of the draft getting Kadarius Toney? Oh, my God. Like, you want to talk about explosive offense, add him to that mix and that team – yeah, you know, who knows? That could be the missing piece offensively.
Don't worry. Green Bay will draft another quarterback and screw it up.
He'll find a way to screw that one up. Adam Silverstein, great stuff. Covers the Gators, onlygators.com. Go give him a follow on Twitter, @SilversteinAdam. We really appreciate the time, man. I know it's kind of a last-second book, but we're paying attention to what Kyle Pitts is doing. He's a ton of fun to watch, and we might have to catch up again here soon. Thanks for the time this morning.
Yeah, I could talk for an hour about Kyle Pitts, so happy to come on anytime. Don't worry.
There you go. Great stuff, Adam Silverstein. Yeah, Kyle Pitts, man, he turned heads yesterday at his pro day.
He stole the show, man.
He did, and now I think it becomes a race, basically, of who is your first non-quarterback taken, as everybody's expecting 1, 2, and 3 to be quarterbacks. Likely Lawrence and Wilson 1, 2, and then we'll see what the Niners do at 3.
If you're Atlanta, don't you go offensive line?
You got so your options are Penei Sewell, Kyle Pitts, Jamar Chase, Devonta Smith, Jalen Waddle.
Yeah, but
I mean, those are basically the names that are in the mix, it feels like.
The more weapons, the merrier. I just don't know how strong the need is for offensive weapons. Ridley has really come on here.
Julio Jones.
Yeah. Julio Jones is one of the best to ever do it at that position. You know, if you want to extend Matt Ryan 3-4 more years and do this win now window, you pick defensive guys after that pick. I don't know. I doubt he'll drop past 4 based on all the reviews on him. But if Pitts falls past the Falcons, you know, Cincinnati, assuming Penei Sewell gets taken or some other position player, you got to wonder how this draft is. It's always such a crapshoot. We don't know who's ultimately going to be all pro and MVP type stuff. But this draft is one of the more interesting drafts we've had in a long time because of the quarterback movement, potentially, especially if you say Mac Jones goes 3. And then you wonder where's Field. Like, McShay has Fields dropping out of the top 10.
He does.
That would be insane if that was to happen.
I'm looking at a mock right now, too, that has Mac Jones dropping all the way to 15 in New England.
See, exactly. And that's the thing is, I just think it's such a crapshoot, and it's such an exciting thing to look forward to. It's 28 days, but nobody has a read of how this is really going to go outside of probably Lawrence
number one,
and Wilson. It seems like Wilson to the Jets is starting to pick up the consensus steam.
And then the chaos will continue from there. And I think a good point, too, does somebody trade up to Atlanta at number 4? Does somebody trade up to Cincinnati at 5? You know, desperate to get a Trey Lance or desperate to get a Mac Jones. That could potentially
happen.
That's
got to be the Panthers, right, if it's a quarterback?
It could be because they're sitting there at number 8, and they don't know if those guys are going to be on the board. Just looking at a random CBS mock, and then we'll go here. They have Kyle Pitts going 4 to Atlanta, Chase to Cincinnati 5. 5. Devonta Smith to Miami, 6. Jalen Waddle, 7 to Detroit. Would be very Detroit to take a receiver in the first round. Lance to Carolina at 8. Penei Sewell, number 9 to Denver. And then Patrick Surtain, number 10 to Dallas. So it's going to be fun, man. It's coming up in a couple of weeks. Kyle Pitts turning heads. Might be the best non-quarterback in the entire draft class. Hell, he might be the best overall player in this draft class, too. He's in that conversation, no doubt. Big college basketball news. Roy Williams is stepping away. We'll talk about his all-time legacy. And where does Carolina go? Hopefully they don't start looking in Eugene. We'll get to that next on The Fan. Not a big Cubs guy, but I love this song. It's good. It's a good song, man. Good song. That's a whole other side note we can talk about, too.
This was the best thing about their run, aside from snapping the curse.
This song over and over again.
You could have hated that Cubs team.
Cubs go. I mean, it's a good song.
But how did you not love the post-game Wrigley Field at night with the whole stadium screaming and singing this?
Good jam, man. It's a good jam. Also, what the hell's happening to the Cubs? Do you see their offer sheet to Anthony Rizzo?
They've quit. I mean, they're tanking. they're not paying anybody.
They offered Anthony Rizzo like 6 years, $70 million. And he's in the prime of his career.
And he was like, wait, no.
What? It's the last year of his deal, and that's your extension offer? Yikes.
Yeah, if you're a Cubby fan, I think you're pretty upset because the Ricketts family suddenly is going on the cheap. They're pulling a Boston Red Sox.
Yeah, we don't have money anymore.
Look, I'll say this. I know you're going to get to
World
the
Series 4 years ago.
Roy Williams thing.
Mm-hmm.
I love how everybody's acting so surprised that he's retiring. I don't know where this is coming from.
He's up there in age, Bob. He's up there in age.
I thought, if anything, he had 1 or 2 years left. I didn't expect him to go much longer. I don't know why. I can't believe it.
They had a down year last year, too. It was non-tournament year, so we don't really remember it, but they were below 500 in 2019.
They were awful.
2020. They were 14-19 that year, so they were not heading to the tournament. They did get back this year. They lost in that 8-9 matchup. Wisconsin killed them. He has been, though, at North Carolina, Roy Williams. If you're just joining us, he is retiring. Roy Williams has been in North Carolina since 2003. I remember how big of a deal that was when he left Kansas, because he was at Kansas from 88 all the way until 2003.
Yeah.
That's a long run at a school, but of course the ties to North Carolina came calling. That was always the job that he was going to leave for.
Yeah.
And he did, and he had a great run. He won 3 national championships in North Carolina, close to 4. You think the Villanova last second shot, maybe the greatest title game of all time. Villanova knocks it in. Could have had 4 national titles.
5 if you count the Kansas team that ended up losing to Syracuse.
Very true. A team that came down to the last second.
What was that? Was that the Heinrich team? Miles Heinrich, Collison, Brandon Lee, Jefferson, a product as well.
Yeah, you had the Jefferson connections. Yeah, they had a great year that year and lost in the championship game. So a great coaching career, one of the best to ever do it. It's kind of a cliche thing when a guy retires, like, where does he fit in the all-time pantheon? But 3 national titles and had the record to be as good of a coach as he was for the better part of 30 years. That's a great run.
He's an odd coach. Coincidentally, random note, I read a Roy Williams book. Biography on him.
Okay.
And it was pretty good. I don't know why I read it. Sure. I've always kind of been a Carolina fan, so I just liked the Tar Heels, and he went there.
I read a Lou Holtz book one time.
Did you?
Yeah.
Did you?
I read the whole thing in a lisp.
Yeah. Whatever it takes.
Did you put your pants on the same way they did?
That's right. I did. You got to put the pants on.
He's weird because he's won 3 titles. He's a buzzer beater away from being close to having 4. He's been to, 5 or 6?
Mm-hmm.
And yet, you talk to a kid, like, ask Rob today. Overrated. Good. Overrated.
Because he didn't win a title at Kansas? You think that
way
he says
it? Yeah, I mean, Jayhawk fan has a standard. And I think blue blood programs should always have standards. It's to win a national championship. It's not to get Sweet 16s.
That's true.
That being said, remarkable coach. Not surprising that this has happened. I think this is so out of left field. That's way exaggeration.
He's 70 years old.
Yeah, that's... What am I missing here? Why everybody's in the media is acting like this is this most incredible breaking news that nobody could see coming a mile away?
I thought after losing in the first round for the first time ever as a head coach, he might come back for one more, not wanting to go out like that.
But I don't think a guy like him cares. He's got 3 chips, man. 3.
Yeah.
You know how hard it is to win 1? He's got 3. He almost won 2 in 2 different programs.
Yeah, that's very true. Very true. Not many coaches have that in the history of college basketball. I mean, Coach K is close, too. How old is Coach K now?
I think
isn't
he
almost 80?
I mean, he's got to be close.
Maybe youngish, 70, 73?
Good luck replacing either of these guys. He's 74 years old.
Well, I think North Carolina,
just turned 74.
If you're going to replace the all-time legend at a place, Roy is not the all-time at North Carolina the way that K is at Duke.
Yeah.
You could replace Roy at Carolina, and I think if you got the right person, you could do it rather quickly. Duke, that next coach, they're going to suck. They're not going to be good. You are going to be Matt Doherty.
Boss is going to send you an email in 3, 2, 1.
Our boss can't disagree with that opinion. Coach K has set a standard that is not realistic at Duke. They'll win. Duke won't suck, but that next coach will be nowhere near Coach K. You can replace Roy and win at Carolina. And I thought you brought up an interesting name that's probably under the radar, but if they came calling, can you really say no?
No.
If you're Dan Allman and North Carolina calls you, you can't say it's North Carolina. How do you?
You take that meeting. The tricky part for Carolina is they have been so about bleeding Carolina blue.
Yes.
With the coaching.
It's a Michigan man thing. We want a Carolina guy.
Yeah. So, but who's out there? I mean, Coach K's coaching tree, there's some guys that have had success as players and or assistants for him. They can probably go there and. If they want to.
Do they go Stackhouse? He's been underwhelming at Vandy, but do they say you could come to Carolina and revitalize this? Sheed is coaching high school. You could easily spin him being an assistant.
That would be hilarious if Rasheed Wallace ended up being the head coach
serious.
In North Carolina.
If you're North Carolina, don't you view the Juwan Howard thing and say...
It's working, at least for Juwan Howard, yeah.
Look what he did. Stackhouse at Carolina, if you can put together a good recruiting team... I won't be stunned if they make that move.
That is, I mean, I that's a tough balance for a lot of these great storied programs to make. Like, Michigan has gotten in trouble with this. I think it might end up biting Duke, and it could North Carolina at some point. Like, trying to get somebody that is your guy, is a North Carolina guy or is a Duke guy or a Michigan guy, like, go hire the best coach. What do the ties of the school have to matter? Like, if you can have that be an added bonus, sure, that's a great story to tell. But if go hire the best, don't make a subpar hire just because you need to get somebody that bleeds Tar Heel blue.
Well, for the Juwan Howards of the world, though, and we'll see what the future holds. He had a great year this year. For all the Juwan Howards of the world, you end up with Mike Woodson in Indiana situations.
Sure. Well, when I look at Michigan, I mean, they hire Brady Hoke because he's a Michigan man. Sure. How the hell did that work out for you?
Well, yeah. not very often you find the university still tied to the alums. There's like Michigan is with this in football and basketball. We'll see if Carolina is in basketball. You don't have that really going on as much anymore. That used to be a thing for a lot of programs. We need a guy to know who we are.
Yeah.
No. Or you just go get the best possible coach.
I don't care.
Say what you want about him. I don't know how Carolina doesn't put Dane Altman in heavy consideration. The dude's consistently at least a Sweet 16 team in Eugene. He just lost one of his lead assistants who he's had his entire career there.
Yeah, Stubblefield just took the job at DePaul.
So he's out. I don't know how he's not at least in your phone call rotation.
Yeah, I'd be curious to see where they go. I mean, North Carolina, you imagine a program like that kind of has their pick of the litter, if you will. There's not many jobs out there that are even on the same level as North Carolina. So if they come calling, just like Roy Williams left Kansas, and again, I know he had the local tie there, but you got to listen.
What's the biggest job? Is that the biggest job, or is it still Kentucky?
I mean, I think you go North Carolina, Kentucky.
Duke, if it were to.
Duke, I would put Duke into that mix.
I don't want to follow that.
I know, that's
tough. Duke is a different animal.
If Bill Self decides to go to the NBA, if things get hot with whatever may be coming from the NCAA and Self bails.
Well, we just found out Indiana's not a prominent job anymore.
No, that has fallen off the wayside.
I mean, they haven't been relevant in a long time. Trivia time, who is the coach that followed Dean Smith?
His assistant.
Bill Guthridge.
Bill Guthridge.
He sucked.
He was there for 3 years. He went 34-4 in his first year. Yeah. They lost in the national semifinals, so he got to the Final Four. The next year, 24-10, they lost in the first round.
Yep.
And then he went 22-14. He's gone. They brought in Matt Doherty, who was then there for 3 years.
Yep.
Went 26-7, 8-20, 19-16. Come on down, Roy Williams. He's been there ever since.
So he got him back to relevance, man. He saved that program from falling into the Indiana trap.
That can happen quickly. Yeah. Happened in Indiana. At least there's more recruits in that neck of the woods, I would say, than Indiana. But Roy Williams, great run in coaching college basketball. He also helped create a fake program that helped his kids get degrees. And hats off to Roy Williams.
Let me just say, and we'll go. Oregon State, it is almost 8 o'clock on April 1. Why have you not extended Wayne Tinkle?
You want the extension now.
It should have happened before you landed.
Give it to me now.
Yes.
All right, there you go.
He wants to be in Corvallis.
Roy Williams is retiring. Okay, coming up in the final hour, we'll get to Sam Monson at 8:15, Pro Football Focus, talk all sorts of draft, NFL stuff. There is a lot what's on tap today. We got a couple of poll questions we need to get to. I want to start, though, with some opening day storylines. Somebody got paid yesterday, some odds and ends for over-unders. Who's the favorite to win the MVP? Also, did Major League Baseball make a mistake not doing something they did last year? We'll start the final hour there. It's opening day on 1080 The Fan.